in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new.
Oh, get them up, get them out. It is Tuesday on B&E, live from Big 12 Football Media Days, Day 2. We'll feature the Texas Longhorns. We have a lot to do over the next 4 hours of conversation. It's all day long right here on the Horn as we go till 3 o'clock. Live from Frisco, Texas, the Ford Complex, the Ford Star Complex, where today 5 more teams, including the Longhorns, take center stage. We'll recap Day 1. Hear a lot of conversation from yesterday. Look forward to today. And 5 more coaches and players with a lot to do. It's all brought to you by Reliable Automotive on a Tuesday, where it's going to be 101 degrees in Austin, Texas today, 103 tomorrow. Heat advisories across the board, so hydrate yourself, be ready for the heat. But it is mid-July, and the heat is coming here, Buck, with day 2 of Big 12 football.
Oh, what the hell, it's Texas. It's going to be hot in July, and
certainly
what's
is.
The difference? After you get about 95, it seems like it's all the same. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very, very much for the great job you do. It is appreciated. And to all you veterans out there, thank you also.
All right, so yeah, 5 teams yesterday. We were took it all in, took a lot of conversation, including Lincoln Riley of the defending 3-time defending Big 12 champion Oklahoma Sooners, what he's got on tap for year number 2 with he at the helm, but no Baker Mayfield. We'll dive into Big 12 football conversation for sure. And then today, looking front and center. You know, because yesterday, Buck, it was Lincoln Riley, TCU, and Gary Patterson out and about. We spoke with Coach Patterson yesterday for a good 20 minutes in our 9 o'clock hour. He had a lot of interesting things to say about his football team that's kind of under the radar as usual in the Big 12. So there were some storylines yesterday. Today, though, the Longhorns take center stage along with West Virginia and Dana Holgorsen. And, clearly the most experienced quarterback in the Big 12 is Will Grier. He will be here as well. You've got Kansas State, kind of the purple sleeping giant up there in Manhattan, where, think about this, Bill Snyder, the old ball coach, has all 5 of his offensive linemen back. He's bringing 2 quarterbacks. He's always got a good defense. They're kind of a team that are lurking. And then there's Oklahoma State, who just seem to win 10 games every year.
That's right.
With Mike Gundy, because he's a man and he's almost 50 now. But he'll be here as well. And Baylor and Matt Rhule will be on center stage today. We'll try to talk to as many and folks as we can. Great guest lineup on tap today. I know we're scheduled to talk to Brady Quinn of Fox Sports. Jake Trotter is going to drop by, who covers the Big 12 for ESPN.com. He'll be around as well. Many, many more have signed up to join us here over the next 4 hours, and then whoever we can grab, as we did with Gary Patterson and some other folks yesterday. So it's going to be fun, and we go all the way to 3 o'clock with Rod Babers and the Rodcast live here from the Star Complex in Frisco. It's a lot of football conversation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I like the way we kicked it off yesterday by having the commissioner talk and letting us all know that everything is all well.
Hunky-dory.
Everything is just hunky-dory here in the Big 12 again. And no visions of a TV network joining us in the Big 12. So everything seems to be going in the right direction. It's like nothing to see here. You know what I mean? Which I guess I like it. I'm looking at the SEC and thinking about what they're doing with their TV rights and everything else, I look at the Big 12, and the money is here. They made a lot of money in that championship game. With the championship game coming back, there are a lot of money to be made. A lot of teams went to bowl games last year, E, and it just seems like it's okay. Everything seems to be fine. Everybody's making money. I know there's more money to be made, but it seems like the Big 12 is saying we're okay right now.
Well, that's what they have to say. I mean,
yeah, that's true. You can't go up there and go doom and gloom.
Yeah, well, look, a couple of years ago, you know, things were coming apart at the seams. There's no doubt about that. And there was a lot of controversy and, you know, it's settled. I mean, everything, it is what it is right now. It's a 10-team
right.
league because, you know, closest year and a half ago, 2 years ago, they were talking about adding teams, and are they going to expand? Are they going to get back to 12? And who are going to be those teams? And, you know, there was a story out yesterday, an admittance that at some point there were powers that be in the Big 12 who wanted to eliminate Baylor from the Big 12 conference because of all of their misdoings, and you know, all that has settled. Now Baylor is still under the microscope, I think, for a lot of people, because Matt Rhule and the Bears will be here. But yes, it's as calm as it's going to be, and
right.
it won't fire back up. There's not much anybody can do until 2024, anyhow. As far as because everyone that's here is locked in and for the next six seasons.
Sure.
So make what it is. Talk about what's good. Talk about 10 teams and everybody plays everybody. And, you know, last year, no doubt, getting Oklahoma into the Final Four and a part of the college football playoff to give the Big 12 their first participant in that Final Four was a great thing. And it got them back on the big picture and on the big stage. And, you know, can they do that again? Is there a team in this conference that can find their way back into that conversation? Not sure about that, but that's what we're here for, to talk about. Yes, it is certainly tamped down and calmed down as far as any discontent. And it seems to be a pretty harmonious 10 teams. But, again, 2023 into 24, that's when those things will ratchet back up and those conversations will be had. But in the meantime, it's really just play football. And
absolutely.
We've talked about the tremendous non-conference schedules that the Big 12 is playing.
Absolutely. Love those.
With the September matchups that everyone's already looking forward to. It seems like everybody outside of Baylor has a big-time non-con game that people will be paying attention to, including the Longhorns with USC. TCU and Ohio State will be a monster game. Oklahoma plays Chip Kelly and UCLA in September. So these are all fun football games, and we'll talk about them and hear from the folks who were here yesterday. We'll hear from a lot of folks today. Tom Herman and Texas are here. Of course, as we told you last week, Tom is bringing four players. No quarterback, though. Unlike, which I found interesting, that Gary Patterson yesterday brought his young quarterback, Sean Robinson, who is a sophomore.
Yes.
And Gary Patterson told us right here at our broadcast location that he normally only brings four, but he brought Sean because he wants him to be out in front and experience what it means to be a leader and what it means to be a part of this and speak for your teammates. And he wanted him to be here specifically for that, which, you know, you could make the same claim for Tom Herman. If you have a quarterback and if it's Sam Ehlinger and he's a sophomore, bring him with you, put him out here in front of everybody. But obviously that's not the path that Tom Herman is going to take. It was the path that the Gary Patterson took,
and Gary also talked about the fact that he had a couple other quarterbacks that he's really excited about.
Yeah.
in the fall, but he understands that he's got a national kind of guy, a guy who's highly recruited by everybody in the country, and he wants to get him out front.
Yeah.
And if he's going to have him for 2 or 3 years, he wants him to understand and how to deal with media. And because what he's telling you when he brought that kid was, this is my guy right here.
Yeah.
I want him to understand
clear.
He's my guy.
Yeah. And that's when he's
right.
the highest recruited player at that position that Gary Patterson's ever recruited. Four or five star player out of DeSoto,
yes.
Texas, Sean Robinson. But, that's not the track of Tom Herman. He's bringing Patrick Vahe, his senior offensive lineman, Chris Nelson, the senior defensive tackle, Andrew Beck, the senior H-back, tight end, and then, of course, Brecken Hager. Preseason all Big 12 on the defensive side of the ball. He will be here as well as a senior. So four seniors, no quarterback, but Tom Herman and the Longhorns will be center stage today here at Big 12 Football Media Days. Let's get a couple of headlines quickly, get you caught up on what is a slow news stretch, and then we'll dive back into the football conversation. But let's get you some news from the Ticket City Update Desk. Headlines brought to you by Caliber Collision. We'll start with baseball. Major League Baseball All-Star festivities took center stage last night in our nation's capital. And high drama in the Home Run Derby saw the hometown favorite Bryce Harper trailing the Cubs' Kyle Schwarber 18-10 in the final with under a minute to go. Remember, they're on a clock now. Harper dialed it up, blasted 9 home runs in a 47-second stretch to take the crown 19-18 in front of a jam-packed and elated home crowd. As pretty compelling stuff. Harper, 9 home runs in 47 seconds. Hit home runs on 9 of his last 10 swings to take the crown. It's the second time in 4 years a hometown player has won that home run derby. One other baseball note, All-Star shortstop Manny Machado will suit up tonight as a member of the Baltimore Orioles during tonight's All-Star game. But according to a report from baseball insider John Heyman, he is very close to being traded away. May not start the second half of the season or the post-All-Star break with the Orioles. According to Heyman's report, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and the Dodgers are leaders from Machado, with the Yankees and Indians lagging behind. Machado currently batting .315, 24 home runs, 65 RBI. Would be a huge jolt to whichever team is able to acquire him here before the deadline. 2018 Major League Baseball All-Star Game is set to take place tonight in Nationals Park. A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, will manage the American League. He's going with Chris Sale, the left-hander of the Red Sox, will get the start tonight. It's the third straight year he started for the American League. Max Scherzer will start for the home team there with the National League. One note from NBA news, according to Brian Windhorst of ESPN, the Toronto Raptors have emerged as the front-runner to acquire the services of Kawhi Leonard, with his report saying the Lakers and Sixers may have given up their chase and quest for the all-star forward, but that the Raptors, Toronto, has emerged as the leader. And that's the news.
There you have it.
There you have it. Yeah, that was fun last night. I was out with Rod Babers, you know, 'cause he's staying in our hotel, and he was getting his show ready. We were sitting there watching this home run derby. And it was tremendous. I mean, the rules changed. You know, I used to come in here as a baseball fan and say, it's too long, it takes forever. These guys are exhausted. They put it on a clock, and it's a lot more compelling, and there's a lot more fun and dramatics to it. And so every round, you've got these guys. You know, Alex Bregman came up in his first round matchup with Kyle Schwarber, and he came up a home run shy. Bregman did himself pretty proudly because Schwarber made it all the way to the final. And very well may have won this thing, but they have this deal. If you hit a home run 450 feet or more, you get extra time. So when your time's up, so when Schwarber was done, he had hit two home runs of 450 plus, so he got an extra 30 seconds, and that's where he stretched out a little bit. And then, you know, Bregman did not. Bregman hit a bunch of lasers, but he came up one home run shy of Kyle Schwarber, and Schwarber had an extra 30 seconds on him. Then Schwarber went all the way to the final. Looked like he was going to win it with under a minute to go, and Bryce Harper. It was pretty amazing. I mean, this was something. This was like to see this guy who we know. Remember, Bryce Harper was hitting home runs. Remember, he left high school early to go to the minor leagues, and he hitting these majestic home runs as a youngster. He was kind of seen as the LeBron James of baseball, right? And to see him in his home park, the electricity when he got going. I mean, because everybody could see the clock winding down, and the guy pitching him, he's getting nervous too. He knows his time's running out. And, you know, Harper just got into a groove, and the pitcher just got into a groove, and it was just, boom, would he have time? I mean, then you see it, okay, there's 11, there's 12, there's 13, and he got to 17, and then he ended up tying, and he also got a bonus stretch,
yeah,
which is where he hit the home run to win it 19-18. It was pretty dang compelling. The home run derby has not always been my favorite thing. I thought last night it was pretty good television.
Well,
it was over before 10 o'clock.
Well, it was perfect for me because when Bryce Harper was hitting line drives to the kids out there, I then turned to another channel.
You turned it off?
Yeah, right in that whole stretch. I said, oh, he's not going to catch him. He looks tired. He looks like he's not interested right now. And he's hitting, you know, a lot of top spin balls, you know, those like those golf shots at the top spin on him.
He was rolling over on him.
Yeah, they were
rolling over
on it. And I said, okay, let me turn. I don't want to see him flare. I just don't want to see him flare out in front of his home crowd. From that point on, obviously, when I turned to the next channel, it was on.
That's well. It
nine
only took
straight.
Only took 47 seconds.
That's what I'm saying.
So you could run to the restroom and you miss it. I mean, it was pretty compelling, pretty cool stuff. Alex Bregman did himself proud. Didn't make it out of the first round, but Schwarber, who beat him by just a home run.
Well, when those guys get the extra 30 seconds because of the length of the home runs they hit, and guys hit line drives.
Yeah, Javi Baez of the Cubs actually hit the longest home run of the night at Nationals Park.
I saw that one.
So pretty fun, good time. That was some fun stuff here in the middle of the baseball season. I wish they would do more of that. We've talked about, you know, get some of the best players in the world, do a skills challenge like they do in the NBA, things like that. But, you know, baseball has not chosen to go there. They'll play their all-star game tonight. I was interested in that Kawhi Leonard story. Well, the Machado story is interesting, too, because Machado will suit up as an Oriole tonight, but he may not be an Oriole when the season resumes.
Well, I don't think so. I think he'll be in Los Angeles.
Well,
I think that's where he's heading. I know the Phillies, boy, that'll be something if he could get to Philadelphia, but I don't think so. I think he's going to be headed for L.A. But don't leave Milwaukee out of this deal, huh? The Brewers are playing some pretty good baseball
right
now.
And the Brewers are slumping right now. So you wonder if they're in the mix. They just got swept in a long series by the Pirates,
yeah,
coming into the break because they had to play a couple doubleheaders in there because of some rainouts. And, the Brewers have exceeded expectations. The Phillies are where a lot of people didn't think they would be, which is atop the standing. So now those teams maybe have changed their mind. And remember, another thing that happens during the All-Star break is organizations gather, and you have a time to take a deep breath and gather as an organization with your scouts and your people and have these conversations. So you say, okay, are we ready to make a move on this? Here's the guys we're willing to give up to make this move. Because, again, Manny Machado is a rental. He's a free agent at the end of this season. If you acquire him and give up a big package, you may only have him for a few months.
Well, there are a couple teams that have that in their farm system. Philadelphia is one of them right now. They've got a pretty good farm system. Also, the Atlanta Braves, I thought, and I said last week, I said, Atlanta's not going to play this. They like the youth that they have. They don't want to mess around with it right now. They're willing to just go from where they are right now and try to win that way without giving up something from their farm system. But I did say Philadelphia. They think they got it now. Philadelphia, which is incredible, they think they're good enough.
They're in the Braves. I mean, because the Nationals have not become the team that people thought they would be this year.
Right.
And, you know, the National League is wide open. I mean, in the American League, you have the best three teams in baseball, and arguably the best four, potentially, with the Astros and the Yankees, Red Sox, and if you throw the Indians in there, Mariners could be in that mm-hmm. conversation. But the National League is absolutely wide open, and that's why you see the Phillies, Brewers, and Dodgers emerging, according to the Heyman Report, as the leaders for Machado.
And the Dodgers would take the chance. They've got this is right now for them also. That's another one of those groups.
Yeah, I mean they were a couple of plays away from winning the World Series a year ago with the Astros, and here they are. So we'll keep you posted on that. We've also got the Kawhi Leonard story, which we'll follow as we're live at Big 12 Football Media Days. And the other big report that dropped yesterday while we were here was Le'Veon Bell in the NFL. Now, yesterday was the last day that franchise-tagged players could agree to a long-term contract. That window closed, and none of them got done. Here at the Star Complex, the Cowboys did not get a long-term deal done with DeMarcus Lawrence, their pass rusher. He's going to play on the franchise tag this year. And Le'Veon Bell in that conversation.
And that's all right for Le'Veon. He'll just take the $14 million.
I think he's getting some really bad advice, though. I really do. I mean, from Ian Rappaport reported that the Steelers' final offer to Le'Veon Bell was 5 years and $70 million. 5 years, $70 million.
For running back.
More than $30 million of that over 2 years. The last year of the offer was last year at this time the same offer was 5 years, 60. So the Steelers went up $10 more million, and Le'Veon still let it go. The Steelers as an organization were willing to pay what was, would have been a 31-year-old running back, big money at the end of that contract. Now we know they're not guaranteed, so you can bail out of those things.
That's right.
Le'Veon Bell essentially is saying to the fans of Pittsburgh, enjoy it this year. Because I'm going to hit the free agent market and I'm going to go make my money. You wonder what his free agent value will be after next season. That becomes a question.
Depends on how healthy he stays. But he's still going to make a lot of money. Over the last 2 years, Le'Veon Bell has made $14 million and $14 million as a running back in the NFL.
Right, and he'll make that again this year.
And he'll make it again.
But they can't tag him next
no,
year.
No, he's done.
And because they've used it, used up their franchise tag on him. But you wonder, it's a gamble. I mean, on the table right now is 5 years and $70 million with a lot of that guaranteed. You can finish your career a Steeler. He's essentially saying, no, I'm going to bet on myself. And there was a report yesterday.
Plus, Stu's not playing for seven more. I mean, he's not playing until seven.
Well, there's conflicting reports because Adam Schefter had a report yesterday that Bell would consider sitting out the season as to say, you know what, I'm going to go to free agency next year, but I don't need another 400 carries or touches on my body. I'll go to free agency fresh and go make my money elsewhere. But now it seems that he's going to play the year, but we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of time between now and then, but no more time to get a new deal done.
It just seems really odd that you would take off from a year of football, but with the wear and tear on a running back's career and a guy, you know how good he is, period.
Yeah.
And if he's healthy and can stay a year and get really, really healthy without taking any, it's almost better that you would think it would be better for him to sit out.
Yeah.
Now, they'd hate him in Pittsburgh, but he ain't coming back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
What does he care?
Well, and my theory on running
back. He's going to the highest bidder.
I mean, whether it's fair to the collective bargaining agreement or the players are under the collective bargaining agreement, my theory on running backs is draft them early, use them till they're 25 in their next contract, and let them go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially the way the system is structured. And you can find young running backs. I mean, last year, Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt were rookies who blast onto the scene, and they were drafted in the second and third round. These are guys that you can get, and you can find them there, and you can, I don't want to say use them up because that sounds terrible.
But it is.
But when they're between their 21 and 25 years old or 26 years old, you use them.
They're not getting a big contract after that.
And if you need to franchise tag them a time, to get another year out of them, you can. Does that make a player happy? No. But it's really the plight of a running back these days, and it's unfortunate. But the league does not value the position like they used to. Now they value the quarterback, the left tackles, the pass rushers, the corners, the guys that can – in a passing league, the running back has been devalued, and that's what Le'Veon Bell and other running backs are running into.
I guess he thinks that over the next couple of years, he's going to get a really nice contract,
well,
whether he plays or sits out.
Because I think a lot of teams in this
$70 million, I don't know if he's going to get $70 million.
I think a lot of teams in this league have the same theory I do, which, you know, when he hits the free agent market next year, look, DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys, if the Cowboys don't tag him next year and he hits the free agent market, there will be a huge market for a, you know, 26-year-old pass rusher. Will there be a huge market for a Le'Veon Bell? There will be, but will it be more than what the Steelers just offered him in the final days of negotiations?
Well, he has a better chance if he sits away and not takes a bunch of hits. In the minds of a general manager, I'm thinking, wow, he sat out. He's going to be nice and fresh to go. He plays a full season with the Pittsburgh Steelers into the playoffs. I don't know what his market value is there. All I know this dude has made $14 million and $14 million. And I think I would maybe have signed that contract for $70 million. I don't know if I'd pass that one up.
Yeah, I mean, and there's some guaranteed money there, but he's going to bet on himself.
Plus, you're playing on a team that goes to the playoffs. There's no telling who you'll end up with for the money.
And the Steelers are working under the idea that we're paying a running back. Le'Veon Bell and his agent are trying to say this is more than a running back. He's one of your leading receivers. You have to pay him as a playmaker. You have to pay him commensurate with the top wide receivers in this league because he scores touchdowns, he catches passes. He's not just a running back. The Steelers are basing their value chart on other
running backs. No, we turn around and hand it off to him more than we actually do pass to him.
Yes.
When it's all said and done.
So there you go. We've got potential trades. We've got Kawhi Leonard in the news, and we've got little Le'Veon Bell as NFL training camps will get going here shortly. And someone mentioned on the text line that Bryce Harper's pitcher was his dad, which was pretty darn cool. I did not know that because we were watching with the sound down, so I didn't hear that was his pops. But that's pretty cool that his pops with the big guns was firing him in there.
I saw Javier Baez. I guess his brother was pitching to him.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody has their go-to bullpen. You know, the Astros bullpen catcher was throwing to Alex Bregman. I thought one of the cooler scenes, and then we'll get to our first time out, come back and pick up the Big 12 football conversation. You know, if you're an Astros fan, it was a great scene because during your 4 minutes and your stretch in the home run derby, you get one timeout. So everybody gets to about 2 minutes, and their arms start to feel heavy, and they take a T.O., and they go get a drink of Gatorade. And when Bregman took his T.O., here comes Verlander and all the Astros, Jose Altuve. It was like the corner guys. They come to him, and Verlander's recording the whole thing, and it was a pretty cool scene, and they're pumping up Bregman, and he went back in and acquitted himself pretty well, but couldn't get all the way back against Kyle Schwarber. So that was pretty fun last night. So we'll take your thoughts on what you saw last night, what you're seeing right now, and we'll preview what's coming up today from Big 12 Media Days. Look back at what came down yesterday, including Lincoln Riley. I thought he had the most poignant thoughts about the team that won the Big 12 last year and has won it the last 3 years. We'll dive in with Big 12 football conversation from Big 12 Football Media Days live in Frisco, Texas. It's brought to you by Reliable Automotive. You're listening on 104.9, on 101.9 on the FM dial, AM 1260. We're always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron. Come together.
Over me. Oh, we are live in Frisco, Texas, the thriving metropolis north of Dallas that Jerry Jones has built, essentially. Also, the Frisco Rough Riders are out here playing some minor league baseball. They had a game last night. They were playing right down from our hotel, playing a little minor league baseball at the AA level. So we're live here for day two of Big 12 Football Media Days, which will feature the Texas Longhorns, along with West Virginia, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Baylor. Yesterday, Buck, five teams. And, interesting. We're here from Lincoln Riley here coming up, talking about the quarterback situation, how you replace the Heisman Trophy winner in Baker Mayfield, the Kyler Murray baseball situation. But some thumbnail thoughts from yesterday. David Beatty was interesting. What you know about Kansas now is they've been terrible, 3-33 in his tenure. But they've got a new AD in Jeff Long. Of course, he came in from Arkansas. He spoke glowingly of the new AD and the hire and the vision that he has for the program. But obviously his job's on the line. They need to show some growth, and this is the year for Kansas, Buck, because they return more starters than any team in the Big 12. Now, they're returning starters that won a game or two last couple years, but they do have, I think, 9 on offense and 10 guys that they feel like can play on defense. So they're a veteran team. The interesting storyline from David Beatty yesterday here from Kansas is that he brought a young player from the state of Florida who went to Parkland High School, where the scene of the shooting earlier this year. And he had a deal with the coach who was a hero in that put his body in front of young people and was killed. He was very, very close to that, that coach. And that young man had an incredible story yesterday that he brought him here so he could tell that story and kind of share it. That was Kendall Khalil Hebert, their running back from the state of Florida. Very, very cool story. Texas Tech Cliff Kingsbury had an odd colored suit. I'm not sure what that color was that he was sporting. It was kind of a purplish
gray. Did it have a little gray in there?
I don't know, man.
The shirt was gray, was it not?
Yes, he had a gray shirt under, but it was kind of this, I don't know, man. He is a fashion dude. But he was a little subdued. I mean, he you know, people asked about his defense. He thinks he's going to be pretty good. He doesn't have any idea who his quarterback is going to be at this point. Whether if he does, he doesn't. He's not saying. He's got a three-headed quarterback battle that he's going with. And obviously, I think if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're happy to be here because you were very close to not being here, except for that upset win of Texas in November last year. But he's here, and they have three defensive players on the All Big 12 team, which, by the way, Gary Patterson was none too pleased about. I mean, it's fair to say, as we sat here and talked to Gary Patterson yesterday, when we asked him, hey, you know, you guys traditionally have the best defense in the Big 12, one of the best in the country, and Phil Steele ranks you with the number one defensive line, linebacker, and defensive back unit in the Big 12, yet you have one player on the first team all Big 12 when Kansas and Texas Tech have five. How does that feel?
And you can tell Gary Patterson feel good about it.
Gary Patterson was not real happy about
no,
that.
No, he was not. He didn't.
And he looked at us and said, "You tell me how that happened."
Yeah,
that is a chip.
He's not happy about that. That's all he needs is another chip on his shoulder, really, Gary Patterson.
I mean, like, huh?
He's loaded with really, really good players, defensively, and you know, if he finds a way to get that offensive line going, it's going to be hell to pay in the Big 12, and that's for everybody.
Because, I think that's true.
Because on defense, he's got tons of great players. And if this young quarterback comes through, I think that sets it off right. And if he can protect himself. But it doesn't matter. If your offensive line, we've seen that before where we are. If your line can't protect the quarterback and he's on the run the minute he steps back, it doesn't matter how good he is. But if they can sustain just a little bit and protect this quarterback, Gary Patterson's got plenty of defense and plenty of special teams and special type ball carriers when they put their hands on the ball. Guys that can make a lot of plays.
Playmakers, yeah.
Yes.
And, it's not a great recipe when four senior linemen leave and your quarterback leaves, but you know Kenny Hill was an up and down player, and you weren't sure which thrill Hill you were getting last year for them.
He made a lot of good plays. He made a lot of bad errors, a lot of bad throws.
You know, a brand new offensive line with an inexperienced sophomore quarterback can be challenging, and it's not a great recipe. But as Coach Patterson said yesterday, you got to coach him up. It's one of the things Lincoln Riley said yesterday. Lincoln Riley talked about his Oklahoma team and says, I think it's got a chance to be the most talented team we've had now in 4 years that we've been at Oklahoma. And, of course, they've won the Big 12 the last three. But it's probably our most inexperienced team as well. I think our leadership is going to be very, very key as how this team progresses. They got to grow up fast. And that's Lincoln Riley's consistent theme was just that we've got a lot of good players. And he was actually asked about how, you know, the defense in the Georgia game that couldn't stop the run, when they were up big and then couldn't stop Chubb and Michelle in that semifinal last year. Lincoln Riley point blank said, look, we haven't been talented enough on the defensive side of the ball. We've had some talented players, but not enough talent on defense to get into those battles of the trenches with the top teams in the country. He was very honest that if we get in a battle with Alabama or Clemson or Georgia, we're not matching up talent for talent.
Well, we can't sustain a ground game that they're doing in the SEC. That's what he means. He understands that part straight out. If you want to go air raid all day long, he'd love for you to do that. But when you start pounding the big boys at him, he's going to struggle with that. And if they get that fixed,
it's not an indictment, but Bob Stoops is the one who's been recruiting the players. And one of the criticisms of Oklahoma fans late in the Bob Stoops era is he wasn't recruited at the levels of some of the top teams in the SEC. And this is Lincoln Riley's program now, and you can hear that. Last year he had just gotten the reins. He was still trying to get his bearings. Remember, he got the job in early June, and, you know, six weeks later we're here at Big 12 Media Days, and Lincoln Riley is the new coach, and he's kind of flooded with questions. And Baker Mayfield was the real storyline. Yesterday, Lincoln Riley was the absolute story, but he was absolutely in control. I mean, you could hear it in his voice. He has a vision for where he wants to take the program, where they have to improve. Let's hear from Lincoln Riley yesterday on how you replace Baker Mayfield. He was the best player in the Big 12 the last three seasons, won the Heisman Trophy last year. Here is Lincoln Riley on replacing a legendary quarterback.
A little difficult to say right now. It's probably harder to find the leadership side of it because he was so consistent there for a long time. And playing that position, you just naturally expect that some of your leadership is going to come from there. So that'll probably be the most difficult part to replace. But I'm, again, happy that the guys that we have been in the fire too, and they know what it's like. And so I think they'll be ready for it.
All right, so the leadership, and that's something, because people, Lincoln went on to say, look, people think about leadership with Baker and they think about the rah-rah stuff and the things they saw on TV and the exuberance that he played with. But he said, that's not it. It's what he brought every day. It's how he pushed our team. It's how he pushed our young players to be better. It's what people didn't see.
Well, yeah, it's what you do at practice. I mean, a lot of those things happen at practice. When something goes wrong at practice, that's the guy who will stop a play himself. You don't need a coach to stop the play.
That's right.
The quarterback stops the play and say, no, that's not good enough. We need to do this over again. Let's get together and do it over again. A lot of times, a lot of players watch and they wait for the coach to say, that's not good enough. But when you have a guy like Baker Mayfield over the last 3 years, he coaches on the field. It's nice to have that kind of, you know, this is like when Mack Brown in 2005, they were coaches. The players were coaches. The coaches just stood back. They let the players coach the team.
And then Colt McCoy picked up that mantle and learned that.
But right now for Oklahoma, they still have those kind of stars. I mean, they've got a young CeeDee Lamb who's an incredible wide receiver in this conference and in the nation, and he's young. But they also have Rodney Anderson. Rodney Anderson is a star. That dude can play. I mean, that running back can do a lot of things. And he's that guy, when you said Le'Veon Bell, he reminds me a little bit of a guy like that because he comes out of the backfield, he sets up screens, he knows how to set up blockers. You don't have to – everything doesn't have to be clean and pretty for Ronnie Anderson. That guy can make it happen himself. And you start getting guys like that because now he becomes your leader.
Yeah.
He understands what it's all about.
Yeah.
And there are players in Oklahoma defensively that I think we just haven't seen. They do this every year to us. All of a sudden, there'd be four guys. Like, who the hell is that? It just happens there. They've recruited that way. Defensively, yeah, they may struggle a little bit. But offensively, I think they're going to be just fine.
They're loaded on offense, and there's no doubt. Because Trey Sermon was the starting running back a year ago before Rodney Anderson took over.
Right.
And now it's a two-headed monster. Lincoln Riley, was asked about the Kyler Murray situation. Of course, Kyler Murray transferred in from Texas A&M, waited behind Baker Mayfield for his shot, now drafted number 9 overall by the Oakland A's, has already signed his contract. It's pretty much known he's going to play 1 year of football. And, you know, this was interesting yesterday in the big press conference that was on Fox Sports that everybody could watch. I think it was Brian Baldinger of Fox stood up and asked, hey, and in the way he phrased his question, he kind of led him into that Kyler Murray was already a starter. And Lincoln Riley stopped him and said, look, we do not have a starting quarterback as of right now. Kyler Murray's going to have to come in and work his tail off to beat out Austin Kendall. Austin Kendall was a 4-star quarterback out of the state of North Carolina.
Right.
And they were neck and neck in camp. Now, everyone assumes that Kyler is going to come in and be the starter. But, you know, Lincoln Riley made it clear. And then he was asked in the kind of the session afterwards where everybody, you know, gathers around the coach. This is where we got this sound. How do you deal with Kyler Murray's baseball career? Here's what Lincoln Riley's response to that question was of what do you do? Now he's got all this money and he's off to be a pro. Here's Lincoln Riley.
The baseball and the money and all that don't have jack to do with what we're doing here. You know, he's done playing baseball at Oklahoma. So, I mean, you know, he's as far as an OU football player, he's no different than anybody else we have. And so that's, you know, it hasn't been an issue up to this point, and knowing Kyler and his family, I would be shocked if it becomes an issue for us. I mean, if it was going to be a distraction, why would he even have come back? You know, I mean, the kid wants to play football. If not, he would already be training, getting ready to play baseball.
But one thing is clear, I do think Kyler Murray will be the starter this year. But if he comes in at all with a big head and at all with a nonchalant attitude, he's already got this thing sewn up. That's why I think Lincoln Riley's pushing the gas and saying, look, he's going to have to come in here and beat this kid out. We're not just handing him a starting quarterback job.
But what he does in baseball is totally different than what he can do in football.
Right.
So nobody who cares about what he does in baseball, except for his parents, his ability, that's going to be his career. But what he does on the football field has absolutely, as Lincoln Riley's telling you, has nothing to do with how he plays. If he's not good enough as a quarterback for us, he may be a great baseball player, but if he's not good enough for a quarterback, we're not just going to put him in because of his name and because he's going to be here for 1 year because we may be able to use him up and get him out of here. What if the other kid's just better at the position?
And he has 2 years of eligibility left, but according to those we've talked to, he's already agreed with the A's that the A's will let him play one season, and then he's got to be an A. And, you know, that
– and there's a lot of human nature into all that, too. I mean,
yeah.
Football is a very – you know, it's very demanding. It's demanding on your time. It's demanding on your body. Baseball's different, you know what I mean? It's not the same workouts. And Kyler Murray could come into camp going, you know what? The hell with this.
Well, he loves the game.
Well, he could.
And he knows he's not a pro football player, and that's kind of the one thing. But he's going to play his one college season. And then there's Austin Kendall, the kid who, as we said, he's only a sophomore. He you know, might be the quarterback of the future. There's other guys there. Here was Lincoln Riley when asked right now who has the edge in the quarterback battle.
Both these guys are different than Baker, you know, and a lot of great leaders are. I mean, that's, I think, to be a great leader, you got to be yourself and be confident in who you are. And both these guys have led teams. You know, Austin was very, they were very successful in North Carolina. And then obviously everybody knows about Kyler's record in high school. So these guys know how to win. You know, these guys know how to compete, but at the same time, they can't try to be Baker. They can't try to. You can learn some things here and there, but again, if you're not yourself, then people see through that, and that's the worst way to lead, in my opinion.
All right, so there's Lincoln Riley, kind of the – I thought he was the star of yesterday. He and Gary Patterson really – and that stands to reason, right? I mean, they're the favorites from that group yesterday.
Yeah, and Lincoln has been around. He may be a head coach for 1 year, but he's been around Bob Stoops for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, he understands how to –
he was with, you know, Texas Tech and Mike Leach before that, and he's been in this conference a long time. So those were the thoughts of yesterday. And I'll mention Iowa State. We saw, you know, Iowa State was here yesterday with Matt Campbell. And this guy, he is so engaging. He is such a quality, hard, I mean, just meat and potatoes young football coach. And the trivia of yesterday was which team was 4-0 against the teams that were there yesterday. That was Iowa State. Iowa State beat TCU. They beat Oklahoma. They beat Kansas and they beat everybody that was here yesterday in their game, which was on their way to an 8-win season.
That's right.
Buck. Matt Campbell and Iowa State is a guy to watch. I mean, that is an interesting program. They do have Kyle Kemp, the senior quarterback, so they've got experience at the quarterback position. He feels like they're finally putting an offensive line on the field that as he said yesterday, it's a real live offensive line. I'm interested in Iowa State and Matt Campbell. That is a he is an emerging young coach in a conference that, you know,
has some old-timers in there.
Yeah.
Well, not really. They've got some old-timers, but they also got some young coaches. Dana Holgers is an old-timer.
Well, and I'll say this about
Bill Snyder.
This kid, this running back, Montgomery.
Yes.
Wow. This kid, I mean, according to NFL, in NFL circles, the kid, David Montgomery, might be the number one back in the draft next year if he comes out. He's only a junior. But it was funny, I was walking out to my car at one point, and up in the concourse here is where they were doing the
pictures.
The Big 12 pictures. Mm-hmm. And those guys were changing into their jerseys, and so he had his shirt off. And I'm walking by, and whoa, that dude is put together, Priest Holmes looking dude from back in the day. And I'm looking at this kid, and he's a tremendous, tremendous player. David Montgomery is one to watch. This is a conference, the Big 12 in 2018, loaded with running backs, because you got Darius James, the kid at TCU. You mentioned Rodney Anderson, Trey Sermon at Oklahoma. This kid, David Montgomery, takes a backseat to nobody. You know, and Gary Patterson loves his two-headed monster because he's got the big 6'4", 240-pound back
monster,
who was here
man.
Yesterday. You know, running backs with quarterbacks kind of in the question mark. It's kind of a running back league. And Cliff Kingsbury was asked about that yesterday because, remember, it was Matt Campbell at Iowa State that Todd Orlando kind of stole that lightning package when he saw what – because that's what Matt Campbell was running against them when they went up to Iowa State on that Thursday night game last year. Well, from the rest of the season, Todd Orlando was trotting out that lightning package with the six DBs and putting a lot of speed on the field and winning the line of scrimmage. You know, Cliff Kingsbury said, well, that's been a lot of study this offseason is how you attack that defense, and it might be – if they're going to put six DBs on the field, we're going to run the ball. We might put some more tight ends back on the field and start running the rock. It'll be interesting to see how that ebbs and flows in the Big 12 this year.
If they're going to do that, if you're going to add six defensive back, guess what I'm going to do? I am going to run at you.
Down in the rock.
I'm going to make those dudes make tackles.
That's right.
And if I got good running backs, and if I can make those guys miss or I can run them over for 5 and 6 yards, guess what? I'll continue to run the ball
right
until you get out of it.
And you give Todd Orlando credit because, you know, Matt Campbell, those two teams on defense were very successful last year with that package against Big 12 teams. They're used to scoring 40 and 50 points. They were holding them down, and it's one of the reasons Iowa State won 8 games and beat TCU and beat Oklahoma last year. All right, so there you go. That was day one. Day two is today. It does include the Longhorns. We'll preview Tom Herman, and we haven't heard from Tom in a while. He's been quiet through the summer. Kind of preview that. Also, the other teams that are here, including a lot of people's Big 12 front runner, West Virginia. Dana Holgerson and company will be here today, along with Baylor, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. It's Big 12 Football Media Days live in Frisco, Texas, live here on the Horn. We'll get you some other breaking news that came out yesterday about the Big 12 moving forward. We'll hit that for you. We'll reset your headlines coming up, your coach's corner around the corner as well. Great guests lined up. We're scheduled to talk to Brady Quinn of Fox Sports. Jake Trotter's going to drop by, and many, many more. Brian Davis of the of Hook'em.com all the way through the morning. It's B&E on the Horn.
B&E.
All right, B&A with you live in Dallas, Texas, Frisco, Texas, north of Dallas. It was announced yesterday here at Big 12 Football Media Days by Bob Bowlesby that next year and the following year, these meetings will take place at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Cowboys Stadium, which to my ears were like, really? This seems pretty perfect. But they're taking it to AT&T Stadium. That place will swallow Big 12 Football Media Days. The place is enormous.
It's too big.
I mean, this place is
perfect.
You know, folks who don't know, the Ford Center is about a 15,000 seat arena. They play high school football games here. It's the indoor practice facility for the Cowboys. We are set up on the turf field, right near.
What are they doing? Adding two new teams or something? Is that why they, when they move there, two more teams are coming joining? The Big 12.
The Bowlesby press conference was happening while we were on air in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday.
Did we miss an announcement or something?
No, that's where he announced it. The next 2 years will be at AT&T Stadium. And I'm not sure the thought now. There was some consideration that maybe they're going to let fans in and make it a fan experience like the NFL has done with their media days and the Super Bowl and things of that nature. But we'll see. To me and to my coming to Big 12 Media Days with you, this is the perfect location.
I mean, sure.
It's intimate. There's a nice environment to it. But they're taking it to the big yard.
I think you swallowed up in there.
Yeah. Of course, that's where they held the NFL draft.
I got a feeling that they'll, because of the NFL draft, they had so much success on what they did outside of the stadium itself. They're probably thinking, you know what, we can.
It's July, Buck. No one wants to be outside
right.
in July.
Yeah, I forgot
it's
about
July
that.
It's July in Dallas. It's 105 degrees here today.
You mean like if they put us on the turf outside of this thing right here?
I'd be back home.
We wouldn't come. I'm sorry. We declined to come this year.
Hell to the no. Hell no. So I don't know. This is Texas. One of the things about having the draft in April, it's still relatively pleasant in April outside in Dallas, Texas.
You're right.
Stu Myrick, our on-site engineer, was at the draft in AT&T Stadium. What's your thought on that?
First of all, the draft worked beautifully there.
Sure.
It was fantastic. The layout was great. Where they had us, we were in one of the end zones. One level was all radio. The other level was print and national radio. They had the press conference. It was great. I have a feeling they could do the same layout for Big 12 Media Days with that. Put, say, Radio Row on one level and put everything else.
But a million people aren't showing up to the Big 12. A million people aren't going
to
show up.
And this could be total hogwash. But I heard a rumor innuendo, that SEC Media Days will be here. That's why Big 12 is moving to AT&T.
What do you mean? SEC? Now it's too small.
It's not too far. I mean, this area is not too small for anybody. But if that's an interesting piece of news, that if because Texas A&M is now in the SEC,
true,
and the SEC wants to get a footprint into the state of Texas and more of a footprint, that would be really interesting if they're the reason, because I have not heard that rumor. But if that's the case and the SEC is here and the Big 12 is down at the stadium, interesting, because this is the first year that the SEC media is, which started yesterday. Jimbo Fisher met the media, had his first experience as the coach of the Texas A&M Aggies.
They've moved. They're not in the same spot.
Yeah, well, they were in Birmingham from 1985 until last year. This is the first year they moved it. They moved it to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So maybe the SEC is being a little more mobile, and maybe next year they're eyeing Texas, which would be, that'll raise some eyebrows in the Big 12 if all of a sudden the SEC is having their media days in Frisco, Texas.
And to your point about selling tickets, look, I've been to the last five Super Bowl media days. They get 20,000 to watch us running around like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to get, get
time out,
whatever
time
coach.
Out, time out. Personal foul. Okay, listen. That's what there is a difference between the Super Bowl and the NFL draft and Big 12 football media days, or even SEC media days. They're some of the boringest days of the year. People aren't coming to watch that. There's nothing.
No.
I mean, there's nothing. This is not.
You want to watch Bob Bowlesby talk? You want to come here for that speech?
There is no fan experience here. Because I've been to the draft and I've been to the Super Bowl, there is a fan experience. The NFL Combine
has more fan experience.
There is a fan experience to
that.
This, no fan experience.
But what if they do put a fantasy, like you said.
No.
Even if it is 100 plus.
They're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, they're not going to get that many people to come out for Big 12.
They're missing the boat, because the reason the NFL draft is so popular is it's grown leaps and bounds, because it's the confluence of the NFL meets college football, and it's where my favorite team and my favorite players that I grew up watching are going to end up. There's excitement to that. That's no true. Excitement to this. There hasn't even been a game played yet. There are coaches and players talking about games that are coming. It's a different animal. I guess I understand maybe I don't, but it's very possible that Jerry Jones has already sold this place to the SEC for next year and the Big 12.
Because you know what it would look like here. It would be packed. It would be beautiful in here.
Right. I mean,
every little corner would have SEC.
I think they would get swallowed at Jerry World.
Oh, totally, totally.
For sure.
Totally, because it's just a different animal. I mean, again,
if you told me they were having it in the concourse, I'd say, okay, good.
It makes sense to me why hundreds of thousands of people will flock to see the NFL draft. That makes sense, because you get to root on your team. There's the experience of that. There's draft picks actually happening, and you can cheer or boo it as it happens. You get to hear from players.
Thousands of fans will not come to Jerry's World for Big 12.
You know, I'll be honest. You know, we're here, and we appreciate our friends at Reliable Automotive for getting us here, and we're here to bring you the sights and sounds of Big 12 football media days. But there's never really breaking news here. It's a signal that it's a signal that the season is approaching, and that's really what it's about. It'll be our first chance to talk to Tom Herman today, because Tom's been kind of dark since the summer began, which makes sense. His thoughts on where his team is. That's what we got from the other coaches yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing. There is not a fan experience here, because it's only a coach and three or four players.
Well, I just raised my eyebrows when the thought of that thing even going over there. I'm thinking, well, it's awful big over there, and
it's huge.
It will swallow this thing up.
The place is enormous. But yes, I mean, we'll see. We'll let you know when it does. That was the news from Bob Bowlsby yesterday, that the Big 12 is moving this thing the next 2 years. And if the SEC's here, and like they are here, they overlap at the same time. Because one of the things that was floated yesterday that I heard was the Big 12 was thinking about doing, to the fan experience idea, a Friday Saturday Big 12 media days, which I don't like that very much. They have to understand, this isn't the NFL draft, this isn't the Super Bowl. There's just not a lot happening. Even the NFL Combine, which people think is crazy that fans would want to come out to, the fans can watch the guys do the bench press, and the fans can watch these guys go through some of their drills, and whether you like that or not, that's up to you. There really isn't a fan experience here. There's nothing really to see except for a coach and four or five guys walking around in a polo.
Well, you're not going to do it.
Really,
and one thing you're not doing anything outside.
Not in July.
The fans aren't going out
there. Not in July.
The kids aren't going to be outside. It's too hot.
Well, you know what you notice here, because there is the Star Fitness Center right out here where the Cowboys, you can work out like the Cowboys is kind of their little motto. But when I get here at 5 o'clock, that place is packed. People are out on that field doing drills and their work, because they want to avoid the heat. I mean, that's obvious. And then at night, this place is packed. But during the day,
no.
You're not going to find
it's
a lot of
ghost
people
town
out there when it's 110 in Frisco, Texas. All right, quick timeout. We'll come back. We've got more for you. Great guest lineup coming throughout the course of the morning. Today it is the Longhorns on tap with Baylor, West Virginia, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. So a lot of good conversations to be had this morning. Lock it in all day right here on the Horn. We go all the way to 10 o'clock. Then Trey and BK take over 10 to 1. Then it's the Rodcast all the way to 3 o'clock. So we're locked in. You should do the same on 104.9. On 101.9 AM 1260. Stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.